The Pat Kenny Show
with Mater Private Network
on News Talk.
Now, my next guest was born in New Zealand and grew up in a small village with four generations of her family living in proximity to one another. Once she finished college, she decided to follow her passion for storytelling, and the rest is history. She is the author of some celebrated books, including the number one international bestseller, The Tattooist of Auschwitz. She is here to talk about her latest book, which is called Three Sisters. Heather Morris, good morning and welcome.
Oh, good morning and thank you. It's a delight to be here.
Now, it's interesting reading your books and reading reviews of your books and discussions around your books. The whole question of history, fact versus memory looms large.
Always. And I'm very clear on this. I have not told the story of the Holocaust. In Lully's book, I have told a Holocaust story. Silke's a Holocaust story. The Three Sisters, just a Holocaust story. And they should be able to stand alone from what the academics and historians have kept us, you know, knowing for all these decades. Yeah.
Now, was it an accident that you started in this particular series of Holocaust stories? I mean, was it something that you were always driven to write about, or was it a happy accident?
Absolutely happy accident. I had no idea. You know, I was actually very embarrassed to have to admit to Lully the first time I met him how little I knew about not only the Holocaust, about the Judaism. But it was one of those things, having a cup of coffee with a friend I hadn't seen for many months and her just casually saying, I have a friend whose mother's just died. His father has asked him to find somebody he can tell a story to. That person can't be Jewish. You're not Jewish. Do you want to meet him? I went, sure, what's his story? She said, I don't know. I said, love to meet him. And a week later, I knocked on the door of Lully Sokolov.
And then hence 87 the Tattooist of Auschwitz was revealed to the world.
Yeah.
Again, when you were talking to him and getting his imprimatur, did he have a set of criteria that you had to fulfill, besides not being Jewish, and I'll talk to you about that in a moment, that you had to fulfill in order to tell his story?
Only that I let the world know about this girl whose arm he held, dressed in rags and her head shaven. And here was Lully, an acknowledged playboy. And he's telling me 60 plus years later that he knew in that second when he looked into her eyes that he would never love another.
My goodness.
Tell the world about my love for Gita.
But when he selected you, I mean, he was looking for somebody. He said it's someone who should not be Jewish. Why?
Oh, he's very clear on that. To him, there could not be a Jewish person alive who was not touched by the Holocaust, who did not have their own family backstory. And he said, how can they tell my story when they have their own?
Okay, so he'd be telling a story to a Jewish writer who'd say, oh, yes, that reminds me of my grandfather in wherever it might be.
Exactly.
So he wanted, and when you started to write the story, did you know, I mean, did you suspect the impact it would have?
Gosh, no. Yeah, I wrote this so many years ago, and because I'd never written anything before, I thought, well, I don't know how to write a book. I'll write it as a screenplay, and I'll go and do some weekend courses, online courses, and learn how to write a screenplay. And that's how his story existed for about 12 years.
And it was an award-winning screenplay, was it not?
Yeah, but nobody picked it up.
Okay.
Nobody wanted to run with it. It was all too hard. I think the timing was wrong.
Yeah. But then it became this massive international bestseller. Your current book, which is the third in the sequence, if you like, of Holocaust stories, is about three sisters.
Yeah.
Now, how did you come across their story?
Another time. I love it. I have stories behind my story. I was at a book festival in South Africa and I got an email. I read about 1 o'clock in the morning after I'd been out wining and dining. And it was from a man who lives in Toronto in Canada. He wrote telling me how he had picked up a copy of The Tattooist of Auschwitz at Toronto Airport. Now, the cover in Canada is different to what you people in the UK know. They took the Australian cover, which is just a black background, two arms from the elbow down coming together and touching fingers, the number of Lully and Gita clearly tattooed on those arms. Now, he took that book to read on the flight to Tel Aviv. He wrote telling me that he left it on his mother's coffee table and as she walked past, glanced at the cover and simply said to him, that must be about Lully and Gita.
She recognised the numbers.
And that's when he said, how could you know that? And she said, look at the number on that girl's arm. Now look at the number on mine. They're three apart, aren't they?
My goodness.
Auntie Sibby's was two apart. We went to school with Gita. We were on the train going to Auschwitz with Gita. We were in Block 21 with Gita.
Now, the story is of three sisters and their survival and their, if you like, they're looking after each other.
Yeah.
But the three were not together at the beginning in Auschwitz.
No, and it's that very beginning, going back several years before they were taken, when these young girls, very young girls, and I'm giving away a spoiler alert here, but anyone who picks the book up thinking, do I want to read this, will read it in the first two pages. They made a promise to their father that they would not be separated. They would look after each other. They would let nothing come between them. And he died the next day. So for these girls, up until April this year, when I was in Israel sitting with Livy and Magda and hearing these two ladies at 96 and 98 still saying, we remember our promise to Papa. And yes, two of them got taken to Auschwitz in April 1942, and the middle child was in hospital and didn't get taken. So for 2.5 years, these girls were separated. And part of what actually kept them going, well, absolutely, they say the thing that kept them going, the ones in Auschwitz, was to find Magda. Magda is back in Slovakia hiding with her mother and grandfather. I have to find my sisters. We have to keep our promise to Papa.
And ultimately, she did join them.
Yes, of course, she ultimately got caught and ended up in Auschwitz. And that they found each other there has got to be called a miracle.
The miracle simply of surviving that camp as well. What do they put it down to, the three of them? Now, you didn't get to talk to the third sister because she died in 2014.
Correct.
I think. So what do they put down their survival to?
Well, Livy, who was only 15 when she was taken there, she said she operated as a zombie for a large part of her time. It was nearly 3 years. And if it wasn't for her older sister, Sibby, she doesn't think she would have survived. But then there were occasions when Sibby was so unwell and near death herself that Livy had to step up and care for her sister. So I think for me, the meaning of this book is sibling love, the unconditional love of siblings and the need for those two in Auschwitz to find the other sister, Magda.
Now, the book is a wonderful book. It's an incredible story. And again, it's their story.
Yes, it is.
Memory may be imperfect, but it is their story. You're not asking anyone to believe this is history.
No.
But at the moment, watching what's happening in Ukraine and all those charges by Putin of neo-Nazism and the indiscriminate bombing of people, children being separated from their parents and so on, in a sense, we're reliving the experiences of people who survived or did not in World War II. And you have an interesting reflection on this.
Look, I do. And I was really honoured about a month ago. I was invited to take part in a kind of a joint interview with a professor in Lviv University in Ukraine. This was a live Facebook event that went all around the world. And she and I were talking not about the conflict currently going on in Ukraine, but this particular woman and several other leading academics in Ukraine are staying there because they're wanting to prepare now for the survivors, she said, which were either returned from having left the country or the survivors who have remained and dealt with the trauma and the tragedy that they're now living through. And to think that that country now, while still being attacked and bombed and obliterated, they're planning to look after their survivors. And in particular, we talked about part of surviving, which has not been dealt with enough, according to me anyway, by the academics and historians. And that is the acknowledgement of the rape and sexual abuse of girls and women during times of conflict. And she told me it's going on here right now, right where I am.
Well, it is one of the telling lessons from history, and at least there are people active today who are concerned as to what the aftermath will be. I mean, if there are people who've been impregnated by Russian soldiers and so on.
It's going to play out.
It's going to play out. Heather, thank you very much for joining us in studio. The new book is called Three Sisters, and I would recommend it to everybody, published by Zafre, but it's author Heather Morris. Thank you very much for joining us in studio.
Pleasure's all mine. Thank you.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Mater Private Network.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.